Yeah, thanks, Claude, for the lovely introduction. I'm really glad to be here today with you guys. Maybe just one or two words to add so that you know who's going to be talking in a minute. My name is Tim. I came over from Germany now for a couple of days to London to join the HUG event. Actually, Claude and I, we met at the last HUG event that took place in May this year, and that was actually quite interesting because I was working in Germany on some ideas around AI and how the new things that have come up in terms of the large language models actually can be used to create interesting software, because that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years, selling and marketing SaaS software, B2B products. So naturally, I was interested how these things with ChatGPT and such could be leveraged to create a product, and that's sort of how we got to know each other. You found it quite interesting, which I'm very grateful for, and then we decided to, take it public and make an interactive session out of the entire thing.
Fantastic. Welcome to London.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to London. Look, I've got some very generic questions, but I think it could get deep very, very quickly. But let's just open it up. It's been a year since ChatGPT version 3.5 was originally launched. Can you give us a feeling for how do you assess the current status of AI in the marketplace, particularly with the emphasis on the marketing group?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I think the first important thing to note is not everyone went out of business. So there are still wonderful marketing people here, as we've seen. So not everyone lost their job, which some people thought might happen when ChatGPT was initially launched. So I think that is the good part of the news, certainly. What we have seen over the last 12 months, essentially, is quite interesting, because the takeover that many people sort of prophesized when ChatGPT first hit the scene didn't really happen. So things changed, especially in the marketing world. We've seen some examples earlier on here on stage as well, how businesses can use generative AI, for example, to produce content, to streamline processes, to automate certain tasks. But we haven't seen this massive general takeover that AI is now replacing marketeers and marketing teams left, right, and center. That didn't really happen. What we're seeing instead now is that companies like OpenAI start experimenting with various ways how they can help organizations and businesses and users to integrate their models better into their existing workflows. Like, we had quite a rudimentary start with a chat-based interface, basically, which to a large extent it still is. But now with more updates and new releases that are hitting the scene, what we're seeing is that there is more possibility to tweak and fine-tune and experiment with these models. And I suspect that this is something that's going to continue. So we're in an interesting stage at the moment, because the grand revolution happened in a way, but then also not really. And I think now it's really about finding those ways to market, finding those use cases, how to get the maximum out of these LLMs, essentially.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of announcements, or there seems to be an announcement every week, right? And at one stage, there was something happening almost every day, and it's crazy to sort of keep up with this. Is there anything particularly that you've seen over the last few months that is relevant to marketers, either just come out now or imminent to be released? What should people be looking at?
I think you're right. There is just way too much stuff to keep track of, and to be like, I don't even keep track of everything that's happening in the scene. It's pretty much impossible. I think some things that are worth pointing out is GPT-4. So for the ones who have subscribed and use the paid version of ChatGPT, they get access to a model that is capable of doing more complex tasks that require more, let's say, more creative element, which is interesting. So that is something that's worth noting. Does it have a huge impact on the marketing scene as of yet? I would say no. Like, you can do certain things with it, and it performs better at certain tasks than the normal 3.5 version does, but it's not revolutionary in that sense. What is definitely worth pointing out, I would say, is AI image creation. That is something that has taken off quite hugely, especially over the last like 6-9 months, I would say. Midjourney, we've got Dolly being able to do amazing things. Like I've seen examples of people building entire websites and the imagery for those websites solely based on AI prompting. So that is pretty impressive, and that is something that definitely changes the market in terms of, for example, stock photography, these types of things. And as I think we haven't really leveraged the full potential when it comes to image creation, when you think about performance-based ads, A/B testing, these types of things, hyper-personalized messaging in terms of visual content, that's interesting. The most interesting thing that most recently came out was actually announced on Monday, I think, when the developer conference of OpenAI took place. And what they announced is now that essentially as a user, you get to build what they call GPTs, which is essentially a customized and tweaked version of their GPT general model, but you will be able to feed it additional information on certain topics or certain tasks. So let's say you are someone who's in the business of creating ads for digital performance campaigns, and you want to improve on the way these ads are set up, for example, in terms of your services and your products. You could then go ahead and create essentially like a mini bot type of thing, which is a GPT 3.5 model. You give it additional information about your business, your users, your customers, your products, your services, and then you have it go off and perform certain tasks with that knowledge in mind, which makes it easier to enter custom information into a model as opposed to having to copy and paste large prompts into a chat interface all the time when you do something.
I did pick up on that from the Sam Altman talk. And one of the things I think for this group would be really, really interesting. It also supports, I think, GPT-4, and there's a new model of GPT-4 out, which, amongst other things, the basic intelligence stays the same, if I'm allowed to use that word. But the context window is dramatically increased. So it goes from 4,000 or 8,000 characters, tokens, to 120,000. And to get to your point about image creation, you could potentially build something, a personalized bot specific to your organization that could be fed an entire blog post, right? And then from there, it could be used to generate images for that blog post. I have a personal hate of stock images. I think they're just irrelevant almost. They're just place fillers. But an AI-generated image in the corporate style, which you can now start to do, tailored on that particular content. I mean, it costs a lot to hire a graphic artist to create that quality, but it shines out when it's done. I've made fun of Dali earlier on with that cartoon, right? The text generation is not quite there yet.
It's really not, by the way. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but this is the worst it's gonna get. This is the worst it's going to be, right? In 6 months' time, 12 months' time, it's going to be natural, it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be on brand. And I think that's the most important thing for marketers to understand. So I think that's kind of cool. So the local GPTs, I think, are going to be really, really important. I mean, take it back to the business process. What do you think the problems that are faced by marketers in today's world, particularly with the SME market, the small operations, which are in fact the majority of businesses in the UK and worldwide, right? What kind of problems are they having, and how could potentially they be helped with an AI tool?
Yeah, excellent question, because that's the main reason why, or what we're after essentially as a startup, because we want to solve many of these challenges with the help of AI. Because we believe that they haven't been solved sufficiently, even though we have stuff like ChatGPT available. I think probably the biggest issue that we are seeing in marketing at the moment is that you are expected to do more with less. It's a very broad statement, but if I look at, for example, startups and scale-ups that I've been working with in the past quite extensively, you always have a desire to achieve business impact, to contribute towards your growth goals. That's essentially what you're doing. It used to be easier to get those results. If we think back, let's say, 10, 12 years, performance marketing was the big thing. You could just throw money at some sort of digital campaign, you would get the results, and you'd be fine, you'd hit your goals, everyone was happy, your manager was happy, your CEO was happy, your investors were happy, all good. We see a trend that it's getting increasingly more difficult through the means of, let's say, pure media buying, which is performance-based ads, or organic content marketing, or whatever you have, to achieve the same output with the same input that you've been using in the past. And why is that? Because consumer behavior, buyer behavior, especially in the B2B area, is changing a lot. And I'm sure all of you know this. What we experience is a fatigue when it comes towards advertising, when it comes towards just the sheer amount of content that is out there. Like, if I'm Googling for something and I want to get information, there is just so much stuff that I can choose from that sometimes it's difficult for me to actually tell what is relevant and what's not relevant. And that's just one tiny example. We see this, for example, on LinkedIn paid media, that engagement rates are low. You need to spend absurd amounts of money sometimes to get sufficient results out of your campaigns, because the audience is fatigued with what they are being presented with. So one of the core challenges is, how do you stay relevant and top of mind? How do you cut through the noise as marketing? And how do you do all of this without spending excessively more money? Because we all know about the economic situation. We know that interest rates are going up, et cetera, et cetera. So asking for a budget increase has always been difficult in marketing traditionally, but it's even more difficult now. And what I think and what we think as a company is that we can use AI technology to make processes and things in marketing way easier, reduce friction, and give you essentially more output for an input that stays the same.
I think this is highly relevant. I often have conversations early on with potential clients, and one of the things that I will tell them is, you know, we have a team. We have a massive capability at White Hat. We have writers. We have people like Tamara and others who can craft strategy. We have SEO experts like Peter who can actually understand all of this stuff. So you as a company, you as an organization, you as a small marketing group, have a choice. You either have money or you have time. Right? So if you have time, what we do is not fundamentally rocket science, right? It's the information out there is known. You can learn this stuff yourself, you can do it yourself, but it does take a lot of time and you've got to put a lot of effort into it. Or you can take that money and your budget and you can give it to a marketing agency, you know, like White Hat, or there's other agencies here as well who can do that for you. The problem is that if you're a small organization, the budget just isn't there. Right, it's. I know where I want to be. I know where I want to go. I know what needs to be done. I don't have the time to do it, and I'm not big enough to be able to hire a team like White Hat or someone else. Talk to me about the Marketing Mary concept. Is that the market that you're going after? Is that the type of person that you're trying to help?
Yes, that's exactly the sweet spot, so to say. I think what you're saying about that particular challenge when it comes to time and budget that you typically have as a smaller, mid-sized business in marketing. That's very true. And that's what I've experienced personally in the past. That's what I experience with my clients, because next to that entire startup thing, I'm also doing some consultancy work. So you always have that challenge that you need to mitigate with those two variables. The problem is that usually you need a certain threshold of either time or money to be able to cut through that noise. Like, you're competing usually against businesses that have a bigger marketing team than you, they have a bigger budget than you, they have a bigger agency, so that's just more stuff they can throw at the audience. So it's difficult for you to compete. And that's the market that we want to go after, because we believe that with AI and generative models in particular, we can remodel essentially what a traditional marketing agency or a marketing team is doing and automate that to a large extent. So if you think about your typical campaign that you want to craft, you've got several pieces and several elements that need to come together, right? You have some content creation, there is going to be creatives, visuals, infographics, stuff being produced. You have a paid media element to that, you have some SEO work that you need to do. Maybe there is other content production, video, etc., etc. So you've got all these moving parts and they all come together in a campaign. That costs you a lot of money and time to achieve that. If you have the resources, it's great. If you don't, it becomes difficult competing against those who have these resources. If you now imagine a world where you could take all of these moving parts and instead of paying an agency, a retainer that is maybe 10,000, 15,000 a month or something like that, you have an AI-based platform that can do 70, 80, 90% of that work for you at a fraction of the price. And I think that's interesting because that helps smaller businesses getting access to the resource that traditionally has been reserved for businesses
now
with big budgets.
That is fascinating because when people talk about AI in the marketing sphere, the first thing that they throw up is content. Right, it's like you're talking about an automatic content creation, and we've heard from Tamara that that's really not the best place to focus. Right, so what I'm paraphrasing, please tell me if I'm getting this wrong, is you're not just creating a content writing tool for marketers to use. You're actually building a digital marketing agency that can automate all of the aspects, all of the channels, paid, social, blogs, SEO, everything, email?
Potentially, yeah. So that's the vision that you've just described. Obviously, we are not there yet. Because if we were there, then I'd probably not be sitting here, but somewhere in the Caribbean, zipping on a cocktail and, you know, enjoying life. So there is still a lot of work to do. But the end goal is precisely what you've described. We want to build a digital marketing agency that we call the Marketing Copilot, who's able to basically take over an agency's work to a large extent.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and again, positioning this, because we have a bit of a, you know, a vested interest, if you could say, because I run a digital marketing agency. You're not going after the market that we're going after. You're not looking for those people who can afford the human element, that can afford the teams, that can build up their own teams. That's not the problem that you're trying to solve. Is that right?
No, that's correct. Like I think that would be silly in a way, and also not the area of growth that I would recommend as a strategist to focus on. What we want to focus on is those businesses who cannot afford an agency like yours, for example, at the minute, because they don't have the resource, or maybe they don't have the internal capabilities to coordinate agency work, because as I've mentioned, there are many moving parts and many elements coming together when you create stuff, so you also need internal people that are able to pick these tasks up and follow up on things and make sure that there's quality control and all of these things. What we are focusing on is the SME type business that has a very small marketing team, limited resource, and that's the business that we want to give access to a powerhouse of an AI-based platform that is able to essentially help them to punch above their weight, if you will, and do things that they normally would only be able to do with a significantly higher investment, either in internal capabilities or into an external party, which than traditionally would be an agency.
You used the term, I think, when we spoke before, democratizing.
Yes.
This capability, taking that capability that's only been available to the large corporates to the rest of the SME world.
Which is essentially what AI is doing on a global scale, right? Like, I really like this term democratizing, because that's essentially what it does. Like, if you look at all these examples that you can, I mean, just go on YouTube and type, I don't know, website building with ChatGPT or something like that. Even if you have zero clue about coding or anything, you can do amazing things. Like I've seen people building websites with AI, or create own custom bots without having to code actually anything. So a lot of the things that maybe 5 years ago were reserved to teams of developers and technicians, and it was difficult to figure some things out, you can do that now by just using an AI tool, which is great. So what we see is that a lot of the capability that traditionally has been reserved for, I don't want to use the term elite, but for, let's say, parties or businesses with appropriate resource, that is being brought down to the public, in a sense. And why shouldn't you be able to do the same in a marketing context?
100%, right? 100%. So let's bring it back to something to closer to the hearts of people in the room, right? It sounds a bit science fiction-y. It sounds a bit out there, and I get the big vision. But people here are HubSpot users, right? Anybody want to answer that? That's all right. But also in the wider world, there are other platforms that aren't HubSpot, right? There's Salesforce, there's Marketo, there's everything else. Are you talking about building something which is standalone and independent from that, or are you looking for a platform to build on top of?
I would say what we are looking for is integration, most first and foremost. I think one of the biggest challenges that we currently have when it comes to the adoption of AI, and I can really just encourage everyone to just think about their everyday work life. If you're working with ChatGPT these days and you wanted to perform certain tasks, what do you do? You go to your browser, you open a chat up, you start prompting, you're not satisfied with the result, you delete the chat again, you type another prompt, you have that being checked by another AI, then you repaste it into ChatGPT until something comes out that you're happy with. You then copy-paste that over maybe to your CMS, maybe into your marketing system, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm trying to say is it's a lot of finickety manual work. What we want to do as marketeers, ideally, is we want to stay in a HubSpot environment, or whatever platform we might be using, and we want to work from there. We want this one source of truth, that one gateway to perform our tasks from. So the challenge is, how do I get all of that capability that is now living within an AI model that I can only access through a chat window, how do I get that over to my natural marketing environment, where I'm creating my email campaigns, where I'm creating my landing pages, my workflows, etc.? The answer to that is, obviously, API and integration. So I need to build something that is can be accessed through my natural environment that I'm working with, but that leverages the capability that is slumbering inside the ChatGPT model or whatever AI you want to use. I mean, you could be using Anthropic as well. So the vision that we have is, we want to create a platform that you can use as a standalone solution that will guide you through UX to create things and content in a much easier way than you could do it when you're just prompting text-based information to a chat, and that is able to push all of that output that it's going to produce directly into the marketing system you're working with. So just imagine you want to create an email campaign, something very basic. You want a nurturing workflow sequence of 4 or 5 emails, something like that. Today, you would create those emails, you would maybe use AI to come up with the content and the text, and you would paste it over all of these things. Imagine a world where you have a platform that knows your business, knows your products and your services, knows your customers, all information that you have previously fed into that platform, and then you tell it to go off and create certain assets for you, and it goes off and does that, and it pushes them directly into the live environment of your CRM. So what you need to do then is, or what you can do, you can go to your HubSpot solution, you can work with the assets right in the system, you can check them, you can correct them, you can tweak them, and then you can push them out. And that is the future that I see for the way that we will be using AI maybe in 18 months' time, 24 months' time, something like that. It won't be just text-based, chat-based interaction. It will be AI intelligence living inside of the environment or inside of the solutions that we already use. And we've seen first steps. I mean, HubSpot obviously has their own AI model that they are working with its limitations. But that's going to be the future, little AI co-pilots within.
That's interesting, because maybe you've answered the question that's in my mind next, is you know that HubSpot, multi-billion dollar organization, at the top of that organization is Dharmesh, who is more into AI than anybody, you know, has a right to be. And he is driving AI into HubSpot. Isn't there a danger that just HubSpot will just negate the need for something like this and they'll just build it into their product?
Yes, of course. I mean, naturally, I mean, that's the truth when you're running a startup, right? There is always the danger that someone who's got more resource, more money than you, more developers at hand, more data, more customers, does something that you want to do and then just overtakes you. Can happen. What I've been seeing so far, I would say, sure, they're making steps, but it's not the groundbreaking revolution that we might want to see. Or that we would think about. So also they have their struggles, and if you work a little bit with this type of or in this type of environment, then there are certain challenges you need to overcome to really get your AI to a level where the output is sufficiently so good and so great that you can start using it right away. And that's what Tamara was talking about earlier, right?
100%. And I think looking at HubSpot's architecture and the way that they build product and the way that they launch product and what they're doing, if you look at their AI, it is very, and I hate to be disparaging about it because it's super cool and it's amazing what they've done, but it's quite generic in terms of its output. It's very simplistic. And if I'm reading you right and what you're saying, the biggest thing that it's missing, and it's why our content teams can't use the content creation capabilities within HubSpot, is that it doesn't know the buyer persona, it doesn't know the customer, it doesn't know the company that is using HubSpot, the client, right? So it doesn't know the products and services, it doesn't know the pains and the goals of the customer. So if you ask it to write a blog post or a particular piece, all of that background knowledge, all of that information, it doesn't exist in a HubSpot database, and they'd have to change their model to start collecting and learning and building that stuff up. It's not kind of what HubSpot does. HubSpot presumes that you as a marketer know your customer, know your products, know your services, and you use the tool to talk to your customers using the tool. It's not up to the tool, as far as HubSpot, I'm paraphrasing HubSpot, I've got to be careful, there's a HubSpot people in the audience. It's not up to HubSpot to know you or your customer or anything else. They'll just give you the capability to execute. So you'll say you're building on top of that capability, and your AI is going to build a knowledge base of products and company. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
Yes, pretty much. I think you've just described probably the single biggest challenge that we generally have when using AI. The biggest problem that I see is that most of the stuff that's currently coming out of the LLMs that we have is too broad and too generic to actually replace, at least to an extent, what you could create as an agency or as a human. In order to get it to a level where you would be happier with the result that you're getting from the model, you need to invest a lot of time and effort into essentially perfecting your prompts and giving the model enough context information that it can draw from to create something that is so specific and so good that it actually works for you and your use case and your audience. And that's why the now increased capabilities with ChatGPT in terms of bigger context windows is a really important thing for us as a startup, because it allows us to put more contextual information over the creation process when you're working with the model. So what we want to do, to answer that question, is essentially build a platform that leverages all of the information that you as a business might have on your products, your services, your customers, your ICP. We can feed that into a customized, vectorized database, and the model then can draw from that database and start creating content that is highly tailored towards the information that you've been giving it beforehand. If you wanted to do that manually in ChatGPT, the capabilities are limited. You can't really do it unless you start developing and building. And of course, it's time consuming. So what you want is a platform, a knowledge pool where you can just dump all the information in that you have as a business and then have the AI figure out what information is relevant to perform a certain task. And that's what we're after.
Fascinating. Again, paraphrasing it back to you, an existing AI comes with a package of knowledge, right? They train it, and then there's a cutoff point in knowledge. And it has certain capabilities and certain features. What you're saying is you can take that, you can build on that, you can implement specific marketing skills, SEO skills. We can digitize Peter, right, and put him in a box. And that gives you skills on top of the base model. But going beyond that, the system is able to learn from the company that is using it, and those learnings, those memories, can be stored in something like a vector database to be retrieved where appropriate. So you have something very tailored, very personalized to the business that is constantly improving itself the more it's used. And also it's doing things like A/B split testing, trying out different headings. It's capable of doing all of that, which a user, it takes up a lot of time for the teams to do that type of testing. You're saying the goal is to build something that's capable of doing that.
Yes, absolutely. So I think what you're touching on right now is really, really fascinating, because this iterative process, that's something that probably every marketer and every marketing team goes through. You start with an idea, you put your stuff out, and then you're going to analyze the results, and you're going to learn from that. And then next time when you do something, you're going to say, okay, maybe we do things a little bit differently. Maybe we change the copy, maybe we change the tone of voice, maybe we want to improve the targeting on a performance campaign that we're doing. So what I described earlier, a scenario where you feed an AI information on your business and on your ICP, and then you have it create stuff. That's sort of your one-way route, if you will.
Ideal customer
profile. Exactly, yes. If you now imagine a scenario where you use that AI to create stuff, and then it becomes a loop where the results of, let's say, a campaign are being fed back into the model, and it starts learning and improving. That's great, because then you essentially have closed the loop that you normally would have within a marketing team or between a marketer and their agency. You're testing stuff, you're bouncing ideas off each other, and you're going to iterate and improve on that. So it is possible to do that with the model itself. It requires, obviously, ways to input that data into the model and then to have it learn, and also save and store that information and then retrieve it wherever it's necessary. So that's a technical challenge when it comes to the development process that we have to solve, that we are thinking about how we can do that. But essentially, that means that over time, the customized model that you've built is getting better and better and better, and is going to be able to create highly tailored and highly specific stuff in a fashion like you could maybe do it as a human.
It's frightening stuff. The most obvious question, I suppose, that springs to mind for me now is, with the baseline of tech that you know exists out of the box, whether it's OpenAI, whether it's something like Anthropic, or I think Elon Musk launched his own AI, what was it called, Grok?
Grok.
there's a lot of money being thrown at this at the moment. If you look at the investment profiles of these companies, it used to be that people were shouting about raising a few million, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. They're now talking in billions in terms of money being thrown at these communities. But if you just look at what we've got today, is that tech capable of delivering what you've just described?
I would say, to a large extent, the answer is probably yes. I think what is interesting, if you look back at the last 12 months, that we are now living in a ChatGPT world, if you will, the model is so good already by itself that it can do probably 80% of the stuff that you would do in a normal business context. It could do that. The limiting factor is the input, is the contextual information, and the skills, how well you're able to steer that model to do exactly what you want it to do. That's the challenge. So in order to get significantly better results, we don't necessarily need better or larger or more complex models.
It's an engineering problem.
Exactly. The question is, how do you embed it into an environment that the model is enabled in the best possible way to perform certain things in a sufficient quality? That's the challenge. So will we see an increase in the innate capability of AI models in the next 12, 18 months, 2 years? I'm pretty certain we will. The bigger leverage when it comes to dramatically improving the output, in my opinion, is a technical and engineering challenge and not so much a challenge of the innate capability of the LLMs that we have today.
Fantastic. Okay, so you've sold everybody. You know, everybody's got their checkbook out. Where did they sign up? Give me an idea of timelines. When do you, presumably this is still concept stage, right? There's no code that people can buy. Two questions, I suppose. Firstly, when do you expect some kind of proof of concept, something simple that people can play with and experiment? When do you hope to have something like that available?
Very soon. So I'm expecting in the next weeks/months. So it's interesting that you specifically ask about a proof of concept, because we have something and we've started building already. So what we've done in a nutshell is we've created a highly customized ChatGPT based AI version that we call Marketing Mary. And Marketing Mary is capable of doing a lot of things related to marketing, because we've built a database, we've stuffed all the marketing knowledge and information that we could get our hands on into that database. And then we ask the questions and we let it do things. And we benchmark this against the general ChatGPT model, exactly. And what we've seen is that sort of the more specific you want to get when it comes to doing actual marketing stuff, the better the results were of our model compared to the general LLM. So what does that mean? That means that the theory, the idea of improving the performance of a model by giving it more specific information to reference from and more contextual information, that it actually works. And so that is something that we've tested that is already workable, it's operating. And what we want to do next is make this model public so that people can play around a little bit with it. So the very first stage will just be a chat-based interaction, while in the background, we are now in the process of putting all the moving parts together so that we can raise some money, because we're still talking pre-seed stage. So this is like all really, really early information that I'm sharing today. So that we can start building the platform environment that I was talking about earlier, and where this model can live, that we are able to tweak it even more, even better, that we enable users to feed their custom information into that database as well. So that is going to be the next step. That will still take some time. I think then we are talking about, so I'm expecting that first investor conversations will kick off early next year. And then, depending on how that goes and how fast
we can move forward. How many billion do you expect to be raising?
At least 20, at least 20, yeah.
If anybody wants to invest. A question for the group, I suppose, or a question to you for the group. There's a lot of people here who have a lot of experience. There's people who've been working with HubSpot for years. There's experienced marketers, CEOs, salespeople. Are you looking for help from this group? Is there anything that you want from this crowd here today?
Yes, absolutely. So what we need more than anything else, of course, is feedback on what we are working on right now. So, and I think we'll open the discussion probably in a minute also for the audience to be able to ask questions. So that would be the first thing that I'd be really interested in, some like initial feedback when you're hearing all this fancy stuff, like how does that resonate with people? The second thing that people can do is go to the still quite rudimentary but very nice website that we've built for our startup and sign up, so that you stay in touch with us and that you get updated on where we're moving towards to and when there will be early access for you to play around with the model and then leave us some feedback in terms of how you find it, how you find the results, Maybe you've got some ideas or questions or wishes, what you would expect from such a platform, then of course you're more than welcome to share that with us. So if you want to stay in touch and if you want to receive some early access information that is going to come out in the next couple of weeks, then I would highly recommend visiting marketingmary.ai. Just fill in the sign up form and then stay in touch with us that way.
Fascinating. Well, look, I can just carry on talking, as you all know. Why don't I open this up if there's any questions? Moi, yes, go on.
Thank you for your talk so far. I wanted to ask about your philosophy regarding pricing for such a product. What do you have in mind going forward?
That is an excellent question. And so the question was around pricing. I was just gently reminded to repeat the question for the recording. So the question is around pricing. What will this thing cost, essentially? That is very hard to say, because at the minute, we still don't have an exact overview of initial development costs, et cetera, et cetera. What you can expect, though, is that it will be in a, I would say, reasonable range for an SME business to subscribe to. So we're not talking about hundreds and thousands of pounds that you would have to spend on it on a monthly basis. I'm envisioning something that is reasonably priced and accessible for an SME type business. Of course, depending on the extent of functionality that you would want to use. So there will definitely be some sort of free version, because that's just something that we believe in, that you should be able to play with these things and experiment with them without having to pay anything, talking about democratization. But then depending on the, let's say, level of integration that you're after, functionality, custom database building, et cetera, prices might vary. So still a little bit too early to answer it concretely, but it has to be something that is reasonable and accessible for every business out there.
Absolutely. Questions? Moi, again, go on.
How does it feel to be somewhat at the whim of changes in their rules and regulations? Like, if you see with Apple and their change, their regulation, and how that's affected companies like Snap, being, how do you think that applies to your business?
Yeah, excellent question. So the question was how we feel about being at the whim, to use yours, of developments that OpenAI is doing to their models, because obviously we highly depend on that. So it's a bit twofold, the answer to that question. The first one is we are working a lot with ChatGPT at the moment, but we are not limited to them only as an LLM provider, essentially. What we are thinking about is building our product and our platform in a way that we can actually use different LLMs, different models for different tasks, if we find that they are better suited for a certain thing. So that's one thing that's important to keep in mind. The other thing that's important to keep in mind is that OpenAI themselves are opening up much more for, let's say, third-party development. So the conference on Monday was actually quite encouraging in that sense, because we see a lot of new functionality coming out that is not so much visible on the front end for the everyday user, but that is regarding development capabilities. So what I suspect they are going to do is, in the next 12, 18 months, open up even more for other software developers to essentially plug into their models and use that to come up with their own solutions and their own software. So in that sense, it's encouraging. And I'm actually looking quite forward to that, because, I mean, why shouldn't they do everything themselves?
Also, part of the announcement from OpenAI was that they created this group called Content Shield, something, Copyright Shield, I can't remember the exact name. The idea that is, if you use an AI to generate content, to create something, and you end up being sued by somebody, they will back you up. They will put their legal team behind it, they will put their money behind it. And it's not just OpenAI, Google have said the same thing. Midjourney, Microsoft have definitely said the same thing. So this seems to be a theme, because, as we know, billions are being invested in this. They can't afford the user community to be penalized. So they will back it up with their own lawyers and their own teams. So I think there's a feeling here that this is just the environment that you have to work with. Nobody here is going to be building their own LLMs, not unless they've got a few billion sitting around, right? So you're going to have to build on something, but keeping it open, keeping it the ability to switch out models, I think, is really, really important. But also, models have different capabilities. Sound, voice recognition, voice creation, image creation, video reading, all of these things are different sides of the same mirror, but they might have, over time, different capabilities being delivered by different models. And you don't want to be tied to one, you want to be able to plug one in, and that's presumably the architecture that you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially now that we're touching on different modes of inputting information into a model, like what we are doing these days is text-based for the most part. Now think about what if you want to do things like image recognition, retrieving contextual information from image-based information, from sound-based information, video content, being able to recognize tonality, gestures, facial recognition, these things. You will have to use different models for that, because what we have in the form of ChatGPT is obviously text-based LLM, so it can do certain things very well and it can't do other things. So if you're taking this even a step or two further, at some point in the future, we will see products coming out that combine the capabilities of different models to give you a more holistic way to interact with
I mean, just a simple example of that, GPT, the latest release that is now available, you can upload an image, right? And it's not just that it's reading the text from that image, doing character recognition, it can understand the context of the image. So in our world, we could upload an image of a web page, right? And instead of just looking at the HTML and seeing whether the headings are set up correctly, all of the standard on-site, you can say, no, that call to action needs to be bigger, or it needs to be a different color, or it doesn't correspond to our brand guidelines, or you should move it over here. And it can look at a page, or it will be able to look at a page. And then that can feed back into the testing, into the design. It's kind of scary when it gets to that level.
It feels a bit crazy. I mean, I think it's important to stay a bit grounded. Like, the community is making first steps into that direction. I don't think that we will wake up in a world tomorrow where AI has completely taken over and can do anything and everything, because there are still technological hurdles that need to be solved. So it's an ongoing process, that's for sure. But if we take it further, maybe 3-5 years, there is going to be some really amazing stuff.
I put up a slide, not today, but on the last talk, where I made some predictions about how this is going to play out. And I think, one of them was the next 18 months, there's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of talk. There's going to be a lot of churn. But not much is actually going to happen in the world, right? You and I are still going to be in the same place. Everybody's going to still have the same jobs. So it's going to take that amount of time for the infrastructure, the plumbing, the engineering work to be built. And 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, that's when it starts going to be rolled out and it gets implemented and it starts having an impact. So we've got some time to stay ahead of this curve and to be very cautious and careful about our companies and about our individuals and how we implement this. Because I think the people who stay at the forefront of this are the ones who are going to benefit from it.
As in most cases, in
absolutely. History, yeah. Listen, I think we're running out of time. One question at the back. Go on.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for the presentation. I can see how you're very excited by this. The narrative feels very broadcast. So it's about getting content from an organisation, putting it into a database, and then finding a way of broadcasting it out. As marketers, though, we are responsible for marshalling inbound. So it's not an outbound. What's in your system that's going to help me understand how the market thinks, how the market behaves, if I'm just putting data about my own organization?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, actually. So the question was, how can we essentially balance the sort of inbound and outbound aspects of marketing? How is an AI model that is supposed to create stuff being able to help with understanding my customers and the market that I'm operating in better? That's essentially the question. It's an excellent question, because I think that is essentially one of the challenges where AI can really, really help marketers. Think about it in a way, you as a marketer, you want to be very, very sensitive to the things that your target group, your target audience is doing, is saying, is thinking about certain things. In my personal experience, that is sometimes a challenge because you get caught up in your day-to-day operations, you're producing stuff, you're doing things. So it's not that easy to always put your customer first and with everything that you do think about how's it going to benefit them. If you can leverage an AI to gather as much information on your target group as possible, internal information that you might have, but you could also use online information, you could use online databases, you can have it crawl Google search results, for example, all of these things, then your AI model can essentially act in the place of the persona that you want to market to. So think about, and that might sound a bit very visionary, but think about a way to create an AI-based avatar, a spokesperson for your target audience that you could ask questions, for example. So if your AI is constantly being fed with information on your target group and what they are doing, on trends in the industry, things that are happening, etc., etc., why shouldn't you be able to then talk to that AI and ask it questions, gather feedback from it, for example, on a particular piece of content that you're putting out, or on a website that you're creating, on a new product, on a new service that you want to launch. So in the past, maybe you would get together a customer panel, you would have a survey, something like that, and you still should be doing those things because that's important information that you, again, can feed into your model. But there is a lot of possibility that hasn't been really explored yet. That's something that we're also looking into. How to transform a generic generative AI into something that you can have a conversation with that acts in the place of your ICP.
And also to take that point about dealing with real people, real situations, right? The problem with inbound as a methodology and as a technology at the moment is that it isn't that ultra personalized. You know, we have a wonderful tool in HubSpot. It's fantastic as far as it goes. But all of those workflows, all of those emails, nurturings that go out, you get the same. You can personalize it by personas. You can do whatever you can. But it still feels a little cookie cutter, right? This could take it to the next level. So if you come onto my website, you engage, you download some ebook, classic inbound marketing, the AI could look up your LinkedIn profile. It could look up your business. It could look up posts that you have. All this can be done in the background, and the email that goes back to that person could be timely, it could be relevant, it could be helpful. And this is the point. This isn't AI taking over. It's to help people. The point of proper marketing is to help people with their problems and goals, right? That's ultimately what salespeople do. They sell a product that helps somebody, yeah? There's no point just selling for the purpose of selling, right? You have to believe that what you have is going to be valuable to the recipient. The AI can help identify that. What is the specific problem that this person has, or this role within this company? And then it can target and maybe filter out so that it doesn't engage with people who aren't good fit. That's classic sales training, right? Is to filter out so you don't waste time. Focus on the people that you can help and help them really well. I think that's how AI could potentially help.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure that the stuff you're putting out is actually relevant. Like, I mean, let's be honest, how much content is out there that when we are looking something up in particular, it's not very helpful and it's not very useful. There's just way too much noise and way too much output being produced. If you think about the capabilities that you could have with an AI to create something that is so close to your target audience that it's super, super specific and highly relevant because the AI knows and understands exactly what your target audience is after. We said earlier, good content will always be good content, right? Something that I very firmly believe in. You can create stuff that is absolutely useful and very close to what your audience is looking for.
I think that's a good time to end it. I really appreciate the time. time, Tim. It's been fascinating. Please come back and talk to us again when you've actually got something to show us.
Yeah, we'd love to.